When his father was listening to forbidden wartime broadcasts of Radio Free Europe, the little boy was to sit outside and rap on the window if anyone should come near. Towards the end of the war, the child was sent to fetch home some milk, and along the way, to make the surreptitious drop of a note for anti-Nazi partisans. A little Czech boy with a milk jug in one hand and an espionage communique in the other. There he was, balancing the quotidian with the momentous. Indeed, a skillful balancing of one thing with another was a lifelong theme for Karl Paukert. Sometimes that balance was quite literal. Who can forget Karl Paukert at the opening of a packed Christmas Eve service responding to a loud cipher, you know, when the organ pipe sticks open, by scaling the mighty Holt camp as if it were a climbing wall. Up he would go, swiftly, nimbly shedding his cassock, and in those dark pants and black turtleneck, looking less like Spider-Man and more like a cat burglar, conquering the cipher, swiftly descending to the bench. That was one sort of balancing act, to be sure. But I am thinking of several others. His repertoire was a balance, of course, of traditional and contemporary. In Evanston, as we've heard, the founder of the uber-traditional, in a sense, Bach Week Festival, and at the CMA, curating concerts that leaned emphatically towards new music and modern composition. His also a balance of the sacred and the secular, holding these two posts simultaneously here in a house of worship alongside that of musical curator at the museum. This balance of sacred and secular, however, was not always compartmentalized. Sacred works made their way into the museum, and here at St. Paul's, we never knew quite what secular nugget would make its way improvisationally into an organ voluntary. A little Gershwin here, a little John Williams there, full-voiced Holt Camp version of Happy Birthday. Once, when wearing my Holy Trinity chasuble, which is adorned with the Trinitarian symbol of three fish in a circle, I was administering communion and suddenly realized that Carl was riffing on the tune of the Three Little Fishes song. They swam and they swam right over the dam. I blame David Mason, by the way, who put him up to it. Another thing that Karl Paukert balanced, perhaps unwittingly and perhaps not, was his own capacity to be entirely endearing and colossally frustrating. On the one hand, it was impossible not to love him. That conspiratorial twinkle in his eye, that impish sense of humor, the loyalty of his friendship, his equal concern for those of high station or those who carried out supportive tasks wherever he was, technicians, custodians, museum guards, everyone felt known and cared about by Karl Paukert. And so we loved him back. Yet he could drive us crazy. Newsletter deadlines were an irrelevance. His concept of time in general was, shall we say, fluid. At St. Paul's, we were as proud as could be of his prowess on the bench in this place, yet rector after rector pleaded with him not to forget that when he was playing hymns, people needed to be able to find the melody. He left us in his improvisational dust. He just couldn't help himself. In so many ways, it was not always easy to find oneself in Karl Pockert land. But here's the thing. Love enables forgiveness, and the experience of forgiveness deepens the love. And so it was. Well, so the many balancing acts of Karl Pockert, East and West, traditional and contemporary, sacred and secular, endearing and infuriating. And here's another. At the end of each December, Karl would leave behind the happy hymnody of Joy to the World and festive French Noels and return once more to his lifelong passion for Olivier Messiaen and La Nativité du Seigneur. Every year, Karl offered his Messiaen recital for Epiphany, first at the museum and then in latter years here at the church. For many of us, it was a challenge. We struggled with Messiaen's complex cosmology, its inexorable modernity, his unfamiliar harmonic systems. But because it was Karl, we came and we listened. Olivier Messiaen said of his composition, quote, "Illuminating the truth of the Catholic faith is the overriding aspect of my work, the noblest and no doubt most valuable." End quote. And one music journalist has written that La Nativité should not be judged as a concert work. It is rather one believer's exploration of what gives meaning to his life, a testament of faith and grateful prayer, grateful prayer. It is a score bristling with complex theological concepts, yet tempered by a simple, all-yielding faith. By some measures, Karl Pockert was more concert organist than church musician. But make no mistake, he loved his service here. He loved having the closest seat to the altar. He would occasionally try and play that as rank. And so one more axis of balance in his life is this, shared powerfully with his beloved Messiaen. The synthesis of brilliant, complex music with profound but simple faith. He returned to it again and again, and he was determined to share it with the rest of us. Many of you have heard my conviction that music is the church's eighth sacrament, or maybe actually the third. You know, a sacrament, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, which is to say something tangible to our senses, sight, sound, taste, which communicates something not tangible to our senses, spiritual things, cosmic things, true things. Music, I need not tell you, has the power to do exactly that, to move us deeply from the inside out, to transport us to another place, to make manifest the glory and mystery of God, the reconciling love of Christ, and what St. Paul calls sighs too deep for words. The joint feast of Saints Peter and Paul on the church's calendar tomorrow is the celebration of complementarity. Right? The impulsive fisherman and the deliberate scholar. the apostle to the Jews and the apostle to the Gentiles. Together, their witness to the gospel goes far beyond the sum of their individual labors. They complete each other. So it has been for those of us who have had the privilege to serve in this pulpit with Karl Paukert at that bench. At our best, our joint witness to the gospel has gone far beyond the sum of our separate, respective vocations. Karl, like Kevin and Steve and Richard, has been a sacramental agent, the steward of music as an audible sign of a spiritual grace. And Carl's particular stewardship reflected that of his beloved Messiaen, who, while he left detailed instructions on his work, also expected the musician to engage with it with the improvisational spirit which he believed to be at the heart of religious experience. An improvisational spirit at the heart of authentic religious experience. That might just encapsulate Karl Paukert's vocation. Of course, his whole self was improvisational, so no doubt his theology had unorthodox elements. But given his return again and again to La Nativité du Seigneur, which he would practice in depth every year as though he'd never seen it before, such was its draw for him. And I am therefore confident that among its movements are named the vocational building blocks, the devotional building blocks of Karl's faith. La Vierge et l'Enfant, the Virgin and Child. Dessein éternel, eternal purposes. Le Verbe, the Word. And above all, Dieu parmi nous, God among us. Karl Paukert experienced and loved God among us, just as he also helped us to experience God among us. And thus am I certain that as God has always been with Karl, so Karl is now with God. From today's proclamation in the Gospel of John, everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is the gospel promise which we claim for Karl today. Not lost, raised up. Finally, one last recollection. It happened pretty much every Sunday. The choir and chancel party would be lined up in the narthex. Karl would conclude the prelude. It was time for the processional hymn. Now, in the practice of ordinary mortals, the pattern is clear. The prelude ends, there's a moment of silence, and the opening hymn begins. The lead crucifer knows exactly when to step off and start the parade. The congregation knows when to stand. But for Karl, that was much too mechanical and pedestrian. So at his hand, the conclusion of the prelude was almost imperceptible as he began further to improvise upon its theme. Then, oh so subtly, the motifs of the prelude began to evolve, perhaps meditatively, perhaps grandly, as chords and snatches of the opening hymn began to appear. Slowly, the prelude would subside as the hymn took over, but who could say, really, when that had happened? And so the procession did not begin. The acolyte didn't know when to step off. The rector was scarcely any wiser. The choir had as many opinions as members. And the congregation was standing, sitting, stopping, starting, bouncing up and down in their pews as though they were on horseback. Even when Carl had segued into what he would consider the initial playthrough of the hymn, it was so thoroughly embellished as to be an auditory game of hide and seek for the rest of us. Dear friends, I do not know what the transition from this life to the next looks like or feels like. Jesus said that the realm of God is already among us if we have eyes to see. So perhaps the transition has more continuity than we imagine. Like so many things, it's not as binary as we think. So I believe that our journey towards God is not unlike a Pockert processional. We are not entirely sure where it begins or how. We're not altogether certain where or how it will take us. We're in it before we know it. And the journey towards God is a truly beautiful thing, resembling the improvisational spirit with which Carl lived, a spirit which very well might be at the heart of authentic religion. The improvisational building blocks and through lines from here to there, from this life to the next, are grace and forgiveness and beauty and harmony and love and new beginnings. It is that life which is offered to me and to you. It is that life in which now dwells Carl Pockert. Christ is risen. Carl is risen with him. Alleluia.